Welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our seven-county listening area. Welcome to Susan Friends and our host.
Thanks, Mike. But Paul Wearson and Gina McAnders are still hosts for this very unusual show. Although Paul will host the pre-recorded segment, and Gina was able to zoom in, amazingly, from Costa Rica to fill in where our local Zoom guests had trouble with connections. Knowing there was a big sesquicentennial celebration in Roland, Paul and I went to the Roland City Hall, where we met with Mayor Jerry Webb and one of the chief organizers, Bob Higgins. Paul Wearson has known Roland students since Roland and Story City were rivals in sports before school consolidation. So I was lucky to be able to turn the interview over to him and just held the mic and push the recording buttons like I used to. Let's listen in.
Knowing that there is a big sesquicentennial celebration in Roland, Paul and I went to the Roland City Hall last week, where we met with Mayor Jerry Webb and one of the chief organizers, Bob Higgins. Paul Wearson has known Roland students since Roland and Story City were rivals in sports before school consolidation. So I was lucky to be able to turn the interview over to him, and I just held the mic and pushed the recording buttons like in the old days when we got started. Let's listen in.
Well, Paul Wearson here. We're in Roland, Iowa, and we have a big event coming up here. I have with me Andy Webb, the Roland mayor, and also Bob Higgins. Hello, Bob. Bob is a person who's a real light in Roland. He's one of the people who make things happen here, a leading volunteer, and we wanted to have both of you on. Now, before I get too far into this, Andy is interesting. Andy, I learned recently you're a native Californian.
That's correct.
And you moved here when?
2012.
Right now you're mayor.
Yes.
To me, that's an incredible political ascendancy. To come in such a short time all the way to mayor, how did you do that?
No one else wanted the job?
I didn't know that it was no competition. All right, well now here we're going to talk about the thing coming up this weekend, the Roland Sesquicentennial, and Andy, you're just brimming to tell us something about this, right?
Well, it's a great event, and in 1870, the city of Roland actually got their the post office, and so that's the date that we go off that we were officially recognized as a city. Celebrating our 150th celebration, we were going to do it last year. We have a committee of 15 different community leaders involved in the various civic groups and the churches working together to plan this event, and we were ready to go for last year, and as you know, things changed in March, so everything got shut down. We gathered together in October to decide, are we going to do this, and set March as the Fisher Cup bait date and decided we're going to go with it, just phase it back to one day instead of two. And so we're having sesquicentennial plus one.
I like that, sesquicentennial plus one, and it's happening this weekend. Now, Bob Higgins, what's your role in this big production?
I've been helping with, like Andy said, a lot of other community leaders just to try to get everything all set up, including the parade, the events during the day, the fireworks. So everybody who comes has a very enjoyable time.
Well, if you're involved, it usually works out for Bob. I know Bob through the church hierarchy here, and he's a very competent guy. Now, first of all, in everyone's mind, we need to know, what's the population of Roland right now?
About 1,300 people.
And this is really a community that's got a lot of recent development.
Yes.
And then the downtown is older and everything. And you have
sort
of
like
older neighborhoods, yeah.
Yeah.
So Main Street here is going to be the scene of the parade. Take us through the first event.
Well, the first event was our sesquicentennial history book. The museum got to put together, and I think actually COVID helped to make that happen because it gave us a break time in there. And so Bob can tell you about that, who all worked on it, but several people got together. We sent out interview information to the people and community. And so we put out the last 50 years. So we had the centennial book, and now we have a sesquicentennial book for $25, which all color pictures and everything. So Bob, why don't you tell them a little bit more about that?
Yeah, we had about 8 or 10 people who were interested in putting together the history of Roland over the last 50 years. So we sent out flyers to everybody in town asking if they would submit family information. So about half the book is about the families that live here in Roland. Some are very new, others go back many, many generations. Then we also wanted to highlight what Roland has done over the last 50 years. In that time period, 50 years ago, we joined school districts with Story City. We've had some changes in our business communities, churches, and other community groups have changed, and we wanted to give them the write-up that they deserved and credit for all the work that they've done. And also in that time period, the Historical Society was organized.
And you have a museum here.
We have a museum with...
Bob's in charge of it, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know that, Bob.
I am president of the Roland Historical Society.
I didn't know that, Bob.
And we celebrated our 40th anniversary, May 30th.
Well, congratulations. Well, now, when you had all this material, the next step is to edit, right? Did you get more than you needed?
There was a lot of work that went into editing, yes. We had people that were in charge of editing, gathering the information, writing it out, and then, of course, editing it and working it into a book that's, I think, somewhere around 200 pages.
Wow. That's going to be for sale for everybody.
It is for sale right now.
For sale right now. In fact, we can sell you one. Yeah, actually, I would say, Bob, that the book has been a real hit. A lot of people have been interested in it. We've sold a lot and been a lot of interest in the book. Yeah. And so that's really part of our first part of the celebration. We've had posters up that people have done with pictures that go back several years that have been set up in the library. And so those are exciting things. The actual day of the sesquicentennial, which is this weekend, will be Saturday at 10 a.m. will be the parade.
Is that the first real event?
That's the first real event. That's going to be kicking it off. And it'll go down Main Street and then all the way south, far south as you can go. And then it's going to cut over and then come back down Vine Street. And they'll be gathering up by the area where the Key Co-op facilities are. So it's going to be a great event. In fact, I want people to know if they would like to be in the parade, we can still let them come in. They can sign up that day, but we'd really prefer if they would let us know they want to be in the parade. That would include you and your radio station.
Yeah.
Just to phone the library and let them know so they can fill an application. That just helps us with our planning. But if they show up that day and say, I want to be in the parade, we'll work that out.
So they could go to the Roland website, call the number they see for the library, and do that.
Absolutely.
So then the parade begins the events of the day, and I assume there'll be continuing things throughout the day.
Oh, absolutely. But let me finish some more on the parade. We actually have two grand marshals.
You do?
We do. And so the sesquicentennial grand marshal will be Eric Hansen.
He's the anchor at KCCI.
Yep. Yeah. And then our...
He's from here.
Yes, he is. And our centennial grand marshal will be Gary Thompson. And so we're going to have two grand marshals because he, 50 years ago, was the grand marshal for the 100th year celebration for the city of Roland.
Yeah, of course, Gary's a celebrity, big star at Iowa State basketball, played professionally. Also a very successful businessman in Ames who's been, I believe, very generous to Roland.
Very much
yes.
so.
Yeah. Yes.
And so it's good to have him back, and it's good that he's my brother's age. My brother was class of 1953, Story City. He had to try to guard Gary Thompson. Obviously, he was a failure. Gary is really a terrific player.
Yeah.
So he really deserves that honor, not only for his celebrity, but his generosity to Roland.
So we felt with the two grand marshals, we're actually celebrating the past history of Roland, and then looking in towards the future and the new leaders and the people that are going to be in the community. And so we're excited about being able to do that with both of them.
It was a great idea to have two parade marshals. Wow. Yeah. That means you need at least two convertibles, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. At least. By the way, speaking of convertibles, we are planning to go ahead this weekend, rain or shine.
Good.
We're praying for a beautiful day. I'd ask God for 80 degrees,
okay.
No wind, and no rain. However, if we have it one way or another, it's the day we have to do it, and so that will be it. After we have finished the parade, then we will have lunch at the middle school. The middle school will be the primary location for events, but we'll have things all up and down Main Street and at Jacobson Park, but which is by Bear Creek. And so at the middle school, the churches will be putting on a luncheon, and so that'll be a special program, and people can eat inside the middle school, or their Key Co-op is setting up a big tent area outside, which would be south of the middle school, so that people can sit out there. It all depends what they're comfortable with.
Yeah, there's a big generous red yard out there, lawn,
yes,
south of the middle school. So that gives you a lot of space to work with, mm-hmm, besides what's going on downtown.
Right.
And what else is going on? Is there a dunk tank where people can throw?
Well, they will, and we're hunting for someone to stick in it.
That better be.
I hear a volunteer from Paul here to do that.
Yeah, I think that would be good, and we would, you know, fix you up with the appropriate red, white, and blue shorts.
Is that right? I could look like the green Trotters, the Globetrotters, you know. Well, now, other things that are coming in, special groups and activities.
Well, we're planning to have a lot of antique tractors that will be in the parade. We have some of the queens from the high school. By the way, he talked about that, you know, the Roland Story became a combined district in 1970. So they celebrated 50 years,
right,
and we're doing that, and the same thing got shut down. So it's going to be fun having reunions at the middle school for those that attended the Roland High School. And we'll have decadal groups where people can go in and do that. We will also have a setup of films, one on Gary Thompson and some of the championship teams that we've had, where people can see videos of those, and that also they can get together and visit with each other and just share. You know, some of the older people, they're not going to be wanting to run around in the sun the full time, and so there'll be a lot going on inside the middle school for them, and then we'll have the community center opened up in here with chairs where people can come in here. They're going to have activities for the children in the library and outside the library. That'll be mostly for younger children. And then behind Salem Church, we're going to have games and stuff for the older elementary school. The traditional games we didn't want to bring in because of COVID. We didn't bring in any the big blow-up things, which we originally had planned on. Decided we didn't know what situation we would face, so we didn't want to sign contracts for that. So we're going to have old-fashioned games, bag races and tug-of-wars and all sorts of fun stuff for the kids. The fire department will have a big display there on Elm Street. We're going to have the antique tractors along South Main Street by the Salem Church. We're going to have a water catapult for children. We're going to have a dunk tank. They're going to have a special program with soccer and things going on. And so all of these activities are going to be going. They're going to start at 1 o'clock.
Now, do you have some private food stands that will be here, too, some food trucks? And
yes, there'll be a food truck out at Jacobson Park. Probably around 1 or 2 o'clock, we're going to have the pork people here behind Casey's with a food set up there.
And so basically you're talking about a situation where there's a lot of different choices to be made for all ages, you know. And that's good because, number one, you've always got the kids to entertain, and number two, older folks have a separate need for this type of activity. And this,
yes.
And another thing about Roland, and we have this great softball complex because Bill Hennessy, longtime coach at Roland and then later Roland Story, is actually the man who wrote the rule book for,
yes,
softball in,
mm-hmm,
Iowa. So that's another landmark here in Roland.
It is.
And
something else that we've got going, Andy, is that we have a bus,
yes,
that people can ride on to visit all the different areas of activities for the day. They don't have to do a lot of walking. They don't have to jump in their car and try to go from one area to another. We will do everything we can to accommodate getting people to all the different activities.
So you have sort of a shuttle available.
We have a shuttle.
That's good, because I have a bad right knee now, so I wouldn't want to walk too far around Roland.
Wouldn't have to.
No, that's
the bus is going to run a circuit, and so that'll run the pool and over here along Main Street, because the museum will be open. They're going to have a business tour to let people know some of the businesses that used to be in town. They can go in the library and see some of the displays there. And we're going to have a lot of different vehicles set up for display. Speaking of which, at 1:15, the medevac helicopter will come and land at the middle school football field.
Is that right?
And so people will be able to go and see the medevac. We're going to have the county emergency trailer that can be used in case of emergency. That's going to be there where people can see what's set up for Story County in case of a big emergency, where they can pull that in and provide leadership and support for a community that's been hit like with a tornado or something like that. And so that'll be set up. We're going to have some, we're going to have a climbing wall, and we have a, the Army Reserve is going to have a display and some things. And so we've got a lot of stuff coming in for all ages to be able to, that'll be going between 1 and 5. Okay. And starting at 4 o'clock, the band Stranger Than Fiction, which is an interesting band. It's made up of English teachers.
Really?
Yeah. And they play folk rock type music and a pretty good variety of music. They'll be playing out at the middle school from 4 to 7.
And that's the kind of event where you can spread a blanket on the grass. And
just sit there and listen.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Terrific.
And so that's going to be good. And then at 6 o'clock, At G.I. Jill's, they're going to have another band where people that would like to dance, and they're going to have part of Main Street shut down so people can sit out there and eat and enjoy a dance together. So you're going to have the family setting and then also a setting for people that like to be able to enjoy a dance band.
So you could see Stranger Than Fiction, then go to the G.I. Jill's.
You could do them both, absolutely.
So it's not like you have to choose. Right?
No.
Then we're getting near the fireworks, aren't we?
Well, not quite, because we have Silly Sally coming in at 8 o'clock. And I've never heard her, but she's supposed to have a great children's show, and it's a 45-minute show. It's going to be a great program from 8 to 8:45. And then, of course, if you've ever been here for the fireworks time, the children are running all over the middle school ground. They usually have little sparklers and stuff. And probably around 9:30, we're going to have the fireworks display. And then at pretty much around 10 o'clock, everything will shut down. But it's going to be a great celebration
it's
for people to be
this a part. Saturday. And, Bob, it goes without saying, the museum will be open, right?
The museum will be open for people who would like to get a look at what we've put together over the last 40 years and all the memorabilia that we have. And it's just a very good time to showcase our historical society.
Well, I've been in the museum. It's really well done. And you've utilized space that's limited to really exploit your displays. It's beautifully done. So whoever designed the layout and made the planning.
One of the key
very good
items that we have at the museum is our 1929 REO fire wagon.
Is that right?
And we are just in the process now of putting new tires on the fire truck, so we can at least have it in the parade. And if we really get lucky, we will get the engine running so we can actually run the fire truck in the parade. But we should have it in the parade for everybody to see.
I hope that happens, because that would be a real, a functional antique.
It is. The fun thing is that we'll have that, and then Roland just got a brand new fire engine, which gives them better pumping capability for out like with farmers, because we cover both the city of Roland and the Howard Township. And so that's been a big acquisition. In the last year, you know, the new pool will be open. So people that want to see the new swimming pool, the old swimming pool was opened at the time of the centennial celebration, 1970, and a pool's lifespan is 50 years. And so The new pool is up and running, so people will be able to go over and swim in the new pool if they want to.
It was up and running.
It is up and running, absolutely.
That's good, yeah.
It's exciting to see. I mean, I don't think that people are going to run out and see our new lagoon, but we've upgraded the lagoon. And also thanks to a gift from Gary Thompson and his wife, the basketball courts are going to all be renovated, and we're hoping that will be completed by the time so people can look and see the renovation of the tennis courts and the basketball court that there's behind the pool. So a lot of exciting things happening, and it's happening because we have a 15-member committee that's been working hard and a lot of people putting together the different parts and pieces just make this happen. And so we're excited, and I just want people to learn more about the community. I'm from California, but I grew up in a small town. I understand the dynamics of a small town, and one of the things that excite me about what the museum is doing is they're restoring some of the old farm equipment and having it painted and fixed up, so it's not just going to rot away, but the people can look at it and see what it would have looked like back when they were first using it, and to make sure it's maintained for many years so that other people can look at it and enjoy it. And so, because I believe our history is our heritage. And what we have right here in Roland is a microcosm of the history of the United States. Everything from the townships and the way things are laid out. This is all part of the history and how people moved west and the excitement of these families coming over from Sweden on the ship and then gathering together on the wagons and then not being able to find land they wanted in Illinois, so coming over here to Roland and setting things up. And it's hard for people to visualize what it was like for those early families that came here. And I think it's important for people to look back and understand the heritage of our community.
I think of it as past, present, and future. Yep. You explore how we got here, how things developed, and then you also show what's progressed over the years, especially through the 20th century, and dating back to 1970 when the schools got together. These were all major events that changed the life here in Roland. Now, Susan and I have gone to many communities and highlighted their festivals and talked about what's going on. And everywhere we go, we have these marvelous community-spirited people who are part of committees who work unseen behind the scenes. And I'm sure, Andy, you and Bob appreciate all the people who pitched in. And that's just one of the core things. The people working together increases community pride, and everyone has a good feeling. When it's over on Saturday night, all of you who work so hard are going to feel so great, you know. Rain or shine.
Rain or shine.
Well, now, Andy Webb and Bob Higgins were here. We're talking about the Roland Sesquicentennial coming this weekend. Come up. You come up on the interstate, take the Roland exit, go east, and you can't miss Roland. And 10 o'clock in the morning is a parade, and then events go all day featuring the past, present, and future of Roland, Iowa. And I'm going to be here, okay? But don't put me in the dunk tank. I'm too old. So,
hey, look forward to it.
Yeah, guys, very good. Bob Higgins, mm-hmm. Andy Webb, Roland,
Iowa.
Thank
you very much.
This weekend, 10 o'clock in the morning, throughout the evening, fireworks late at night, bands, activities, a paradise for children, and a real good opportunity for historians like myself to learn something about Roland and its history. Thanks, guys.
In case you just tuned in, you're listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And Paul Wearson, who has been talking with Mayor Jerry Webb and Bob Higgins about Roland Sesquicentennial. For break music, I'm going to play a song by DeLon Thompson, a songwriter I met down in Arizona. He's the younger brother of Gary Thompson, who will be one of the parade marshals, and the song could have been inspired by a high school dance.
I picked up the phone on Wednesday night. I wanted to talk with you. And every time I tried to dial the phone, my knees would start shaking too. And I was determined to get it right, so I picked up the phone and I dialed you tonight. I wanted to ask you to the dance on Saturday night. the phone started ringing. I hoped you were there, 'cause I was gonna see this through. I've been working up my courage for several days, just hoping to talk with you. 'Cause in my future I know you're the one. We'll wake up every morning with our daughter and son. So with me will you go to the dance on Saturday night? The dance on Saturday night, oh, the dance on Saturday night. I'm hoping you'll say that everything's all right. The dance on Saturday night, oh, the dance on Saturday night. We're gonna stay late and help them turn out the light. I heard the phone click and then I heard your voice. You softly said hello. I coughed and stammered and I made some noise and finally said, did you know? There's a band playing music and they're real tight. I want you to go with me if that's alright. So with me will you go to the dance on Saturday night? The dance on Saturday night, oh, the dance on Saturday night. I'm hoping you'll say that everything's alright. The dance on Saturday night, oh, the dance on Saturday night. We're gonna stay late and help them turn out the lights. We're gonna stay late and help them turn out the lights.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. I thought I was going to be soloing because Gina McAndrews is in Costa Rica, but I thought her trip was next week. So I sent her the Zoom link and the script for this week's show. Fortunately, she read her email, so she is doing her usual job by picking up interviews when we have unexpected connection problems with guests right here in central Iowa. Our last big story is one that was on the front page of all our local newspapers. KHOI subscribes to several of them to serve our listening area. This was the story about the threatening notes in Boone saying, "Burn your rainbow flag." There was no mystery about where they came from. The perpetrator was caught on surveillance cameras and arrested immediately, though the charges were belittled by the police with the opinion that the notes were non-threatening. Those who received them did feel threatened. What I read next was impressive. A city councilman, Elisha Stiles, had submitted a resolution of support for Boone's LGBTQ citizens, which will be part of the consent agenda at the next regular council meeting. I'm pleased that Eli Stiles is with us today and can explain the issues from the inside. Thanks for coming in today, Eli.
So how did you find out about this?
The note on my door?
Yeah.
Well, we were out for Father's Day weekend. We were staying at White Rock Conservancy, and I was taking the kids fishing, and I got a message from a constituent who sent me the video that they took of this person sticking the note on their door and told me what it said and that she was contacting the police. And that she wanted me to know about it too. And so after we got done fishing, we went back to the house and I asked a friend to go over to my house to see if I had a note on my door because I live on Story Street, which is the main street in town. And we have a flag that we fly all year round. So I figured there was a fair chance that I had one on mine as well. And so my friend sent me a picture that we had the same exact note.
So then what did you do about that?
Well, I also contacted the police and and our city administrator to let him know what had happened and try to get more information about how many of these had been found. He let me know that they were looking into it and they were going to get right on top of it, and they did. There were four homes that had the note on their door, and in fact, all of them were in my ward, and all of them were on really busy streets, and they were placed in the middle of the day. There was a fifth one that was placed earlier in the week on a local shop that was rather more explicit in nature, and evidently it was the same person.
So what was your response?
Well, my response was to, you know, make sure that everybody knew that follows my city council Facebook page and my personal page that this is not acceptable, and that there are plenty more people in Boone that are going to stand up for LGBTQ rights and protect them than would ever do something like this. And the response was phenomenal from people who were wanting to stand in solidarity with the LGBTQ community against this.
And you had a resolution for the city council?
Yes. So this happened Father's Day weekend. The Monday afterwards was a regularly scheduled meeting. When we got home on Monday, I drafted a resolution to put forward to council for consideration. I read the resolution, and it got placed on the next meeting's agenda so that we could formally consider it and vote on it. There might be some changes to the language or anything like that in the discussion. Hard to say, but it will be on the agenda for consideration.
And what do you think the response of the council will be?
I haven't had any indication that it will be anything but positive from all my interactions with everyone. The only thing they could say is there might be some minor additions, clerical changes or things like that would be my anticipation, though we can't know that until it happens. But everybody has been supportive as far as I know.
Okay. Well, we are trying to reach the owner of the business that was targeted. I guess their note was a little more upsetting.
Yes. And,
no.
Well, at least I'm not the culprit.
You're not the culprit. Yes. So, Gina, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
So, I have to send an email to our other guest who didn't receive his email. You received yours in
Costa Rica.
And yes. So, would you carry on for me?
Yes, I'm in Costa Rica. So, Elijah, what other things are going on with the city council in Boone?
Oh, other than this, mostly just standard business. Making, we just got done with citywide cleanup. We do that every year to make sure that people are getting rid of their old junk, and the Public Works Department does a great job with that, disposing all of it and everything like that. I can't remember how many tons of junk got removed, so that's great. We have, several wastewater treatment projects going on. The overpass of Highway 17, that's going to help us out with our train congestion a lot. That's moving along. A lot of planning for road work in our downtown area, Story Street, to revitalize that. And we purchased the old Giggling Goat building, which is also the old Fairway building, which is downtown. It's been sitting vacant for many years, and we're going to take action on that, demolish it, and place something new there to make our downtown.
So they're going to demolish it. Do you have any idea what they're going to put in there?
There are several proposals that are sort of on the table, but one thing's for certain, we're going to make sure that something goes up pretty much immediately after the demolition. The state of the building that's there currently is not good at all. It was a restaurant previously, but it had been stripped of all of the things that are inside, so it really needs to start over. So there are a lot of opportunities for our downtown business area.
Right. And what's going on for the 4th of July?
4th of July, we have our standard fireworks show over at the racetrack. We do that every year. And then this year, Pump Ability Days has been moved to August. So that's a little bit different. Typically in September, coinciding with the Cy Hawk game. So we're going to try to move it to August and see if there's more people that will be able to come that are not traveling the football game.
Ah. Now, are they still doing the racetrack every Saturday?
I don't know what their schedule is, but I can hear them all the way up on Story Street, about a mile away. So on any given day, I can tell you whether they're racing or not.
What are some other events they have planned for in Boone for July?
Well, we have our weekly farmers market down at our newly established green space at 8th and Story Street. That's every Thursday. Incidentally, kind of tying into the previous discussion, we had a Pride Day potluck at that location as well, which was the first of its kind here in town, and it was really well attended by young families, people of all ages. My kids and I went as well and danced and had a fun time and got really sweaty and tired, so I was able to take them home, put them to bed, and slept a long time. That's about all the excitement that I can think of going on around town here. We try to keep it pretty simple.
And the pool is back to open, isn't it?
The pool is open. Yep, the pool is open. I've got some kids with swimming lessons that are going to go there, the Red Cross, in a couple of hours. And so that's always a great time. Parks are all cleaned up from last year's trade show. Check those out. I always head down the ledges and everything like that, too.
And how about the Boone County Fair? Do you have...
I can't recall the exact dates of the Boone County Fair, but the last year they went as planned, so they will this year as well. And I have the carnival. I think that I saw some flyers around town that it's going to be a circus out of the fair, too, coming up here sometime. I didn't bring my calendar of events.
no problem. Yeah, that wasn't on the agenda, but
yeah,
sometimes we kind of go with the flow.
Yep, exactly. Yep, let everybody know what we have to offer here in Boone.
How is McCoe's Park? Has that been pretty busy?
McCoe's Park is great. Incidentally, we just had a group of volunteers last summer take it upon themselves to go through and rehab the entire disc golf course. We have a very, very good disc golf course.
Oh, wow.
Shit.
And so they cleaned out all the holes, and they put new signs down, they put new mulch down and everything like that, cleared out debris. So they're getting that in ship shape, and they're having some weekly or bi-weekly tournaments there as well.
Thank you so much. Danny is with us now. And so I think we can transition into what happened for anyone who just tuned in. We had started this segment with the notes that have been posted on doors. And I understand your business had been the first one targeted, and it was perhaps the most. So would you like to just introduce yourself and tell a little about your business and why it might have been targeted by this person?
Sure. Well, my name is Danny Ginger Goodson. I've been in the community for about 5 years now. And just recently with a friend of mine, April Birch, we opened up this business on Story and 8th, right across from the green space. And we're calling it Perks and Recreation, Perks and Rec. And what our goal is to just bring awareness and positivity to the community, work on bringing some people together on ideals and goals that should be communal. For our first kind of kickoff, we decided since we were opening during Pride Month that we would deck the displays out for Pride Month. They have pride flags up there, some notes of positivity, and we had some kids in the community draw some chalk welcome signs and support symbols on front of the sidewalk in front of our shop.
Okay, and then what happened?
Well, that about, like you said, a week ago, I got a text from April saying that there was a note taped on our door, and she sent a picture of it. And like Eli said, it was, from what I've seen on the media, I haven't seen the other notes personally, but it was the most vulgar. It was not non-threatening. They used a term that everyone is familiar with, an F word that refers to two gay men in a derogatory way. And they tried to be clever by calling it flag instead of the actual word. So it really was threatening. It wasn't a non-threatening situation. And unlike what many people know, there was actually a second note that was put in our mailbox, an image of Pepe, the frog. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that symbol, but it's one of the alt-right symbols that's kind of been going around the meme world recently.
So that's what you came up to.
Mm-hmm.
And what was your response?
Well, anger was our first response. Fortunately, we were able to sit down and talk together, me and April, and kind of figure out a plan going forward that wasn't based on the anger that we were feeling. And we decided to respond by throwing what we believe is Boone's first major Pride event, which was the Pride Potluck on Monday, just 2 days past.
And how did that go?
That went very well. We had, I would say, around 60 people in attendance. Some numbers give a few lower, some numbers give a few higher, but people were coming and going. And so it went really well. We had a potluck. All the food was set up over in our shop in Perks and Rec, and people were able to go through the line, get a couple plates of food, and come back across to the green space where we just kind of enjoyed being together, listened to good music, and hung out.
And so you had a little extra publicity for your Pride event.
Yeah. So we got the word out. The community was very supportive after the events, after the letters were found. And we kind of used that as a springboard to try to bring awareness to this particular issue, that LGBT people, we do exist in Boone, and we're here. We're not going anywhere. And people need to be welcoming. You may not agree with us or whatever, however you want to view that, but you don't need to be targeting us.
How many people came to your Pride event?
Like we said, we think there was around 60 there.
And when Eli first told me about it, he was the first person I was able to get hold of. He said it was a lot of young families.
Yeah, there were a lot of kids there. We let them play with chalk on the sidewalks. We did tattoos and face painting, and it was a really good turnout, a great family event. Kids were dancing. Adults were up there dancing, too. It was a great time.
And so what are you going to be doing in, let's see, have you said the name of your, it's Perks
Perk,
Recreation, right?
Perks and Rec for short, yeah. Kind of a play off words there.
Yes. And so what is your business going to be at in Perks and Rec?
So we're kind of considering ourselves a little grassroots organizing organization, I guess you'd say. We're working on projects that we think should be in the communal good, for the communal interest. One of them that I discussed the other day was water quality in our area. I'm sure we're all aware that it's not great. We've got some issues within our area. The Des Moines River has been being looked at by environmental organizations. It's something that we think we should bring awareness to, and that's one thing that we've discussed among many other things. Our goal is to eventually become a statewide organization that we can try to work for the common good of Iowa.
Since my co-host Gina McAndrews is here with us, and she always comes up with lots of questions I didn't think of. Hi, Gina. Would you like to weigh in a little bit from Puerto Rico?
Well, I'm in Costa Rica, but... Yes.
Oh, I'm sure. Bad geography here.
You're fine. You're fine. Yes, I'm glad you're working on ways to just educate and bring more understanding to people in general about hopefully developing more respect and love of everyone. People need to accept everyone, and I think a lot of times people just don't understand. And do you have other ways, ideas on ways we could all help contribute to everyone learning more about each other?
The big thing is just come to a conversation with an open mind. We're all people. We should be able to discuss without screaming back and forth. I know that's easier said than done sometimes, especially when it comes to the social media aspect. But this is our lives. It's not some abstract thought. It's what we deal with. We need people to understand that kind of hate's not acceptable, and we need to have a conversation about what you don't understand, I guess. And we need to ask the hard questions without being afraid that you're going to offend someone. We need to be able to be upfront, or else we'll never get to any common conclusion.
What do you think? So, for example, this person that they caught doing these abusive acts, what types of punishment do you think they should do? Or would it be better to do kind of sit down conversations with them and try to develop more education?
I think that once you've gotten to the point that you are terrifying a community, we're past the point of simply sitting down and having a conversation. I'm glad that he's being charged. I'm glad that hate crime charges are being added onto it, because that's what it is. It's a hate crime, and they are not non-threatening in nature. They do threaten the entire community. We do need to have that conversation and sit down, but we need to have that conversation and sit down with people who aren't taking actions against and to harm an entire community based off of their hate.
Yes, I can understand that.
Well, I'd like to throw something in, because from things that Danny was saying, this is actually a model of diversity. One of the things that really struck me when I first saw these stories about Boone was the wonderful Black Lives Matter march that they had in Boone a year ago or a year and a half ago. When 250 people showed up to be there to show their support. And since then, the legislature has actually said you shouldn't have diversity training in businesses or schools. And so apparently there are a lot of people who don't get diversity.
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's different. We're trying to teach something. People are trying to educate the community, and we have right now, unfortunately, a government that's trying to do everything they can to prevent that education, that understanding from going forward.
Turn to a lighter note. I wanted to end this segment with a little music, and so I asked. I think that this comes from, this is April's suggestion, I'm not quite sure, who said that you were dancing the Macarena. Now, Macarena is not, this is not a music I knew before, but it's pretty lively. And so I think maybe it's a good time to end our show and to listen to some Macarena and try to keep from dancing. Just try it.
we couldn't the other night on the green space. This was probably the most danced to song.
Okay, so. Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo pa' dar la alegría y cosa buena. Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, Macarena. ¡Ay!
Come and find me, my name is Macarena. Always at the party con las chicas que son buenas. Come join me, dance with me, and all you fellas chant along with me.
Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo pa' dar la alegría y cosas buenas. Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, hey, Macarena.
Ay.
Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo es pa' dar la alegría y cosas buenas. Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, hey, Macarena.
Ay.
Tu cuerpo alegría Macarena, que tu cuerpo para dar la alegría y cosas buenas. Dale tu cuerpo alegría Macarena, Macarena. Dale tu cuerpo alegría Macarena, que tu cuerpo para dar la alegría y cosas buenas. Dale tu cuerpo alegría Macarena, Macarena. Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, que tu cuerpo es para dar la alegría y cosas buenas. Baila tu cuerpo, alegría, Macarena, Macarena.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franzen, Paul Wilson by recording, and Gina McAndrews. Are you there, Gina?
I am here.
Okay. Other voices you heard are Jerry Webb, Bob Higgins, Elisha Steins, and Daniel Ginger Goodson.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at 7 p.m. At noon, you can hear a rebroadcast of Capital Week, originally aired Monday evening at 7 p.m. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. There you will also find information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories.
Local Talk was engineered by Michael Murphy. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard was Danced on Saturday Night by DeLon Thompson and Macarena.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or you can contact us through our website at khoifm.org. That's also what you need to know to contact us if you decide to become a member, or you can renew your membership today. Just go to our website and hit the yellow Donate Become a Member button. If you enjoyed the show, please tell all your friends. Remember, your participation as a listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again on the radio.